Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR, American Family Radio. Appreciate you listening, wherever you may be tuned in across the good old U.S. of A, or some folks listen internationally on our app to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Brother Ray Pritchard is usually here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You're filling his shoes.
Yes.
And he's, you know, he's out teaching the Bible, you say?
Well, I think he's at the fishbowl retreat, isn't
That's
he?
That's right, he is. Ours.
Yes.
Our fishbowl retreat, which is fishbowl meaning people who live in a fishbowl for all the world to scrutinize and see, and that are pastors for the most part. And so Bert Harper, Brother Bert Harper, and Ray are with, I don't know, many dozens of
Yes, it's couples. Sold out events.
Sold out. So. Somewhere in Tennessee, middle of Tennessee.
Linden Valley.
They're having their fishbowl retreat, so Brother Ray is preaching there. Thus, he can't be on with us. Walker Wildman is that other voice who knew where Ray was. How do you know where Ray is?
I know where everyone is.
Wow.
Somebody
yes.
has to.
So you're our NSA representative here.
That's it. Spying on everyone, like
American,
it or not.
American Family Radio's own spy, Walker Wildman. By the way, just see where Yahoo was hacked into?
Yes.
Wasn't it Yahoo's
They said all their accounts.
2013, or when was that?
I'm not sure.
It's several years back, but...
Why were you just not hearing about it?
I have no idea. I think they were assessing the damage or something, but now it's come out that I think every single account has been hacked.
Mm-hmm. Does Yahoo write a letter to people saying, hey, we just learned that 6 years ago... No, what is it? Four years ago, you were hacked, you and everybody else here. But our IT team's been on it for 4 years.
Yeah.
And we're on top of it. So we'll be getting back with you in 4 years to tell you all your personal information that was stolen in 2013. Is that what's going to happen now?
I don't know. Everybody's – I just shudder because of all the websites I have accounts with because, you know, news websites. I mean, you know, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, you know, you get a story off there, you got to sign up, you know, and I just shudder to think of
where all your email is. Well, your email is your personal information. You don't want them getting your credit cards and stuff.
Oh,
like
no,
that.
No. Yeah. This is just email address and all that. And that might explain why my spam continues to grow.
Is that your spam continues to grow?
Number of spams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and
we grow
spam in the backyard. We have a spam.
All right,
spam garden.
You can always depend on me to move along. Right?
Yes, Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio on OneNewsNow.com. Do you notice how Ed tries to distract me with frivolous talk about things don't matter? I'm trying to keep this show focused.
I am interested in the spam crop.
See there, Fred, you go. See, you go. You're trying to do it now. You and Ed are colluding with the Russians to try to bring down this show. I know where this is going.
We need a congressional investigation.
Yes,
Wait,
we do.
Are we colluding with the Russians?
Yeah, we are.
Are you kidding me?
So, well, Brent Creeley, yes, there we go.
Now Brent is including with Fred and Ed with the Russians.
There you go.
Brent's our board operator, and he's the one on cue who will play the Russian men's choir. And there's no doubt what gender they are. Listen to those boys go. Play that one more time, Brent. You love that, don't you?
I love it, man. Hey, those guys do not eat spam. They eat elk raw.
Now we're going to get a letter from Spam's attorney, who was probably hacked in the Yahoo scandal.
Yeah, there you go.
Connected to the Russians.
See, this
somehow,
is news. This is
and
news
round worthy. And round it goes. Yeah.
And somehow it's Donald Trump's fault.
Right.
Yeah. President Trump. All right, Fred, what's going on in the news?
Hey, listen, we need to update a story we talked about with the governor of Mississippi yesterday, Phil Bryant. This is the religious freedom law that was passed. Fifth Circuit gave its go-ahead. But yesterday, there was an attempt to delay it again. The law is supposed to take effect tomorrow. But now it's been delayed until Tuesday. And there was some mention in the Associated Press story yesterday that the federal judge, the Obama-appointed judge, Carlton Reeves, was looking at a case from 2014 to bring it forward in an attempt to have a more permanent delay put on this religious freedom law. The Fifth Circuit yesterday dealt with that pretty quickly, but it, instead of taking effect tomorrow, it is going to take effect next Tuesday. So we just want to update our audience on that.
Why would you delay it for 3 days?
Well, that's the Associated Press story just came off. I brought it in just before the program started. Does not mention why the 3 days. I can only guess it may have something to do with paperwork that the Fifth Circuit has to receive from the petition. I'm just guessing. I ain't a lawyer, and I don't play one.
Right.
On TV
or
on radio.
You stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last
night.
That's
right.
Stayed at your house.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Yesterday, President Donald Trump in Las Vegas, just an incredible day, visiting with first responders. But Walker and I were just talking about this. There was a moment in his visit to some of those who were injured at the hospital where a young man, who I believe suffered a bullet wound, in the leg, when he saw the president come in the room, the president and the first lady come into his hospital room, he got out of his bed to stand up, and he said, "I will always stand. I love my country. I will always stand for the president."
Thomas Gunderson is the name of the young man. Mm-hmm. Looking at a Fox News story posted by Todd Starnes, and it shows a little video inside, a little video clip inside the story. Him actually struggling to stand.
Yeah. It was a very moving moment.
Walker put that on our Facebook page, didn't you, Walker?
I did.
Yeah.
So go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can watch the video Fred's talking about. It's going viral. It's very inspiring.
It is.
Also, you can watch our show here live on that same Facebook page, Facebook Live for Today's Issues. You're listening to American Family Radio. Dr. Michael Brown will be with us at the bottom of the hour, author of Saving a Sick America. And Dr. Brown will give us the prescription, I guess, for a...
And, you know, just to kind of let our listeners know, he did devotions here at American Family Association this morning. It was very encouraging. He has a very uplifting view. I mean, it's certainly a clear-headed view of our state right now, but reminds us of times past when great awakenings occurred in the wake of very, very desperate spiritual times. Mm-hmm. So I think our listeners will be encouraged if they tune in.
So that's Dr. Michael Brown coming on the program at the bottom of the hour. Raise your hand. How many of you think, this is just personal opinion, obviously based on, well, if you have a personal opinion, really don't have to be based on much of anything, does it? Just based on how you feel right now. In this room, we got five of us. How many of you feel like the shooting in Las Vegas, the massacre in Las Vegas, was done by this one fella alone with no help? How many feel that way?
I do.
Well, yeah. I mean,
one and two?
Just
okay. How many of you feel like there will be something uncovered in the future that says there was more than one person involved? Raise your hand. Three of us.
Really?
Three of us.
You guys win.
Well, 3-2. Well, like I said, it's an opinion, so there are no winners. This is the age of relativity. So you guys both feel like it was just a long
single. Now, I'm not. I guess let me just back
based
up
on
a
what
little
we
bit.
Know now. Is that what you're saying?
No, I was going to say, are you saying maybe somebody else helped him carry all those guns in, or somebody else might have been intent on shooting and killing?
What I mean by this is he had help in some way, whether it was getting all the guns. Well, I don't know if he would.
Okay, I thought you meant that there were two shooters.
No, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to suggest there were two shooters. I don't know. I'm saying somebody else.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone helped.
Let me rephrase. Then if I rephrase it that way, I need to be more specific. I'm not talking about pulling the trigger. I'm talking about how many in this room believe that he acted alone completely on every aspect of the.
I don't. I think he had to have some kind of help getting all that.
Okay, then
stuff
we're in agreement.
Yeah. That's just
an accomplice somewhere along the way.
Yeah. 23 weapons in the suite, and then plus the you know, the stands platforms, and platforms yeah. and all.
That seems to be where the sheriff is on this too, isn't it?
He said it's possible that he had help at some point.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Of course, they've got an ongoing investigation. You would not, you know, this is why the sheriff yesterday in Las Vegas pleaded for people, especially the media, to be patient with them mm-hmm. as they investigate this. Good luck with that. And I was sympathizing with the sheriff on that because they're trying to do detailed police work on a crime scene that's massive in an age of 24-hour news cycle wanting something new.
Yeah.
And all these people with cameras and, you know what I'm saying? It's just an incredible age to ask for patience. People aren't going to give it to you.
I will say this, just over the last several days, you know, listening to people, reading articles, trying to figure out why this guy did this. Now, again, this is just my opinion, but in terms of why he picked Las Vegas, obviously he lived close, mm-hmm. 80 miles away, mm-hmm. so he wanted maximum casualties, okay, for whatever statement he's wanting to make or whatever grudge he was acting out. So I think the two theories in my mind, one might be, and this is the least likely of the two, is that he was taking out some sort of revenge on Las Vegas. He was a frequent gambler, but I think, and so therefore, I want to punish Las Vegas, and so this is going to be a big event. I'm going to use this event. I think that's the least likely because he was still a wealthy man. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know, he wasn't like he was broke and losing his family because of his gambling habit. It looks to me like he picked a country concert.
Country and Western.
Country and Western concert because that's the statement he was wanting to make.
Yeah.
That this has something to do with his personal hatred for Donald Trump / Republicans / conservatives.
So,
and this was his way of picking the target to make a statement.
So you're going back to a statement that was made by the lawyer for CBS who said, remember she was fired?
Yes.
She was fired, she said, because most of those country and Western fans are Republicans.
Right.
So you're suggesting, because he had checked out some other venues where there were concerts the week before or 10 days before, and he decided against those. And so he decides on this one, a country and Western concert.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there's we've in our opinion, we've talked about this over the last couple of days, few days. This is not a lunatic. He wasn't howling at the moon running around in his boxers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a man who planned this meticulously, mm-hmm. carried out a plan, and that person, I think, picks his target. Just like the Steve Scalise thing with the Republicans shot on the ball field, mm-hmm. I think they may not be able to prove it. This is just my opinion until other evidence comes. He picked a particular target, just like in Florida, the jihadists picked out a gay nightclub.
Right.
They were targeting homosexuals mm-hmm. because of their hatred mm-hmm. for homosexuals. I think the target is the clue.
Yeah.
And you're not removed from the idea of connecting the thought that most country and Western
people. By the way, Fred, let me help you here, brother.
What?
People don't use Western anymore.
Oh, they don't?
That's from bygone era.
That's Hank Williams Sr.
I'm just going back to my DJ.
I know that. I know.
C&W days.
I know. C&W, I'm not blaming
they
Fred.
Just call it country now.
Country music.
Yeah, just country. All right.
So you are at least entertaining the thought that he, Mr. Paddock,
Stephen Paddock,
believe that most of those fans down there of country music are Republican.
Republican / conservative / Trump supporters,
yeah.
Okay. Whatever's in his mind that okay. he hates the most out of those three categories.
We're just speculating.
Just speculating. Yeah. I think the target is a clue.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That makes sense. That's almost always the case, isn't it? As we find out, like you cited, the Orlando gay nightclub
right.
was targeted by a Islamic jihadi because these were sinners who needed to die.
And some jihadists just pick Westerners. They
right,
just go to a big city and
yeah. mm-hmm.
and there's a crowd and they rent a truck and they kill as many as they
infidels.
Can.
Infidels.
But the target is still the clue.
Yeah, that's right.
Walker.
And Tony Schaefer, who's, I believe, a former military formerly in the military, is a Fox News contributor. He was on with Martha McCallum two nights ago, I believe, talking about this, and he echoed exactly what Ed just said. He said that this mirrors the Hodgkinson shooting in Virginia of Representative Steve Scalise. He specifically targeted Republican congressmen, and that was evident.
Right.
And he was a left winger, Bernie Sanders guy. You know, volunteered on the campaign. So
who is this guy that said
this?
This
is a colonial.
I saw that.
Tony Schaefer said the Las Vegas massacre appears to be quote a very deliberate act of terror with political motivations. Then he delves into that.
I like
that.
This guy.
And this guy, he's a former CIA operative. So this is a well-respected guy who's seen a lot. This isn't some, you know, somebody with no credibility here.
Well, the FBI, I'm guessing the FBI, who leads in the investigation of this nature? Would this be Secret Service, the FBI?
No, I think this would still be the sheriff? Las Vegas, unless there's some
information. But the FBI is involved.
Yeah, if there's information that he crossed state lines or, you know, maybe bought guns.
The FBI is there to assist, I guess, in the investigation. But this would be under the jurisdiction of the sheriff?
I would think. I mean,
okay, well, he's still the one speaking publicly
to
the press. They went to the...
Local law enforcement a lot of times will request the FBI to come in and help.
Take over when something's too big for them to. You know, what I found interesting is this gentleman had no social media presence. He's 64 years old. That's one of the reasons you only see about two or three different pictures of him. One is of him with his eyes closed, which looks like he is in his 60s. The other one looks like he's, you know, 40 years old, that other picture.
Yeah.
There's about two or three pictures, about all you see on the internet of this fellow. So he had no social media footprint, as it were. So you can't go look at his Facebook page, for example, and see, what's he talking about? What's he ranting about? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, but the police did go, or the sheriff's department, or whoever, Nevada investigators, did go into his home, I guess, and seized whatever electronic equipment he had there, to see, I guess, if he's emailing people about some kind of that would connect him to a motive, connect the shooting to a motive of some kind. So I guess they're doing those kinds of investigations. Did he or did he not have a letter in the room?
He did not. They said that yesterday. There was a picture of his body and guns in the hotel room that was leaked. And the sheriff, he didn't say what it was, but he said it was not, you know, kind of a manifesto or a letter that explained everything.
Yeah. What about ISIS? They've claimed twice now that he was a new convert to Islam.
One of their soldiers, I think, is the term they used.
Is there any independent evidence of that?
Unless they have some emails or social media posts where he's messaging them saying planning or something, there's no way to prove that unless the FBI finds something.
I'm having a hard time with that one because ISIS and jihadis are proud of what they do. Okay, so you would, something like that would have happened. You would have walked into the police would have come into his room, and he'd had an ISIS flag up on the wall or something like that. The perpetrators want people to know. That's why they scream Allah Akbar before they. Is that how you pronounce it?
Allahu Akbar.
Okay, that's how you pronounce. They yell that out before they commit their stabbing or their shootings or their bombings or before they run people over with a truck or whatever the case may be. So I just anybody feel differently than what I feel on that one?
I'm not leaning that way. I'm more leaning towards Ed's
what Ed's
theory.
Talking about.
The sheriff yesterday said this is not last week he decided to do this.
No.
The sheriff said yesterday, what we know, this is a quote, what we know is Stephen Paddock is a man who spent decades acquiring weapons and ammo and living a secret life, much of which will never be fully understood. So these 23 weapons that were just in the hotel room plus dozens at his house, those weren't bought last week. He's been building up his stash for years, it appears, with ammo and everything. So
almost always people, though, who do what he did, that is, commit an act of this nature, they tell somebody something along the way. You know, they give hints. they rant about something, or somebody, a couple of friends of his will say, man, he just won't shut up about so-and-so or so-and-so, you know, and they'll tell the cops that after the fact when they're
well, it's almost like two extremes. Either they do that, they talk about it, or you get the other side of it. Boy, he just kept to himself and never said a word to anybody, but he seemed nice.
Which is what people have been saying. He kept to himself. Even his brother didn't know that much about him.
So it's like either one or the other. Either they blab a lot about it or they say nothing.
Mm-hmm. His brother strikes me, bless his heart, he's in pain and agony, as you would imagine a family with this when they find out it's their brother. Or, you know. But at the same time, the brother says to me, he says to me, I know my brother, he wouldn't do something like this. He was a regular guy. I'm paraphrasing now. But then on the other hand, he says, we don't ever talk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a year or something like that. So you really don't know what he's up to.
Right.
But anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred.
Some good news.
Okay.
Some good news that's not being reported very much out there. The economy is absolutely booming. Latest stats that are out this morning. Here's just three headlines that came up in the last hour. All right. U.S. factory orders increased 1.2% in August. Now, that may 1.2% may not sound a whole lot. Here's what the story says. This is Associated Press. The manufacturing sector continues to look healthy after a survey released earlier this week found that factory activity expanded in September at the fastest pace in 13 years.
That's the key right there. In 13 years.
In 13 years.
Wow.
All right. We're producing a whole pile of stuff. Jobless claims dropped 12,000 to 260,000 last week. Listen to this, folks. Now, the government's official figures will come out tomorrow. The expectation is that the economy created around 100,000 jobs last month, and the unemployment rate held steady at 4.4%, near a 16-year low.
Wow.
Are we listening to this? This is the best in more than a decade.
Yeah, almost two decades.
Number three, U.S. trade deficit narrows to $42.4 billion. I know people get lost in all these numbers, and it's really hard to report on radio sometimes. Trade deficit has to do with how much stuff we're sending out versus how much stuff we're shipping in from China and India, et cetera, et cetera. So we're still importing more, but the gap is narrowing between what we're shipping out, selling, what we're manufacturing to ship to other countries. That gap is narrowing. So every bit of economic news is positive. This goes to what the major thrust of the president's election campaign last year, Make America Great Again. Get our manufacturing in order. Reduce taxation on companies so they can hire more people. This is all good because when you've got more manufacturing going on, they're hiring more people, unemployment rate at its lowest rate in, 13 years, I think I said. So this is all positive, but it's become lost in everything else that's going on. It goes to Donald Trump's, the thrust of his campaign, get the economy going again. Okay. That's what America really wants.
All right, Fred, let me explain this to you.
Okay.
The reason it's not being reported so widely, or it's the, you know, it's after the weather, when it's huge economic news that's positive for our country, is because that might reflect positively on President Trump.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that because he needs to be bashed day and night, night and day, because we're the liberal media.
Mm-hmm. I'm shocked that you would even suggest that, Tim.
Fred, does that resonate with you at all? Do you understand what I'm talking about,
Just
Fred?
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay, thank you, Fred. We'll be back with Dr. Michael Brown.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty's students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. When Thomas Gunderson first heard the noise, he thought a speaker had malfunctioned or maybe someone had shot off some fireworks. But then he heard the screams, and Thomas realized he was standing in the middle of a killing field. Instead of running away from the bullets, Thomas ran towards them, hoping to save as many people as he could. A split second later, a bullet plunged into his leg. Thomas is recuperating at a Las Vegas hospital. He's in severe pain, and standing is nearly impossible. But when he learned President Trump was going to drop by, Thomas was determined to stand up and shake the president's hand. You can see video of the moment on my website, toddstarnes.com. It was a deeply heartfelt moment when a patriotic American citizen and his president stood side by side. And it's a gentle reminder that we are still a united people, no matter what the talking heads on TV say. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to see my three and a half month old grandson, Walker's son, on video, go to our Facebook page right now.
Today's Issues Facebook page.
Watch our numbers soar. Because I have in my hands Luke Thomas Wildman. And Luke Thomas is 3.5 months old. And he is making his... Well, he's been on before.
He has.
We've used children to get our ratings up before. And we're going to use them again if we have to.
Do we have to compensate him?
Yeah, look at... So Luke's on the video cam right now. Luke Thomas, this is Walker's and Lexi's first baby, right?
That's right.
Is he sleeping through the night yet?
He sleeps about 4 or 5 hours straight, which is good.
That's not bad.
Yeah. That's good sleep right there. If you can get 4 or 5 hours with a newborn, yep. With a 3.5 month old.
My wife nudges me in the middle of the night, and I go get him. And then he eats,
now,
and I put him
deal,
back into bed.
What's this deal you got with? You got the pacifier.
I call that a lanyard.
Attached to him. We didn't do this when we were raising you. What, you just attached the pacifier?
We did. We had those.
You did?
Yeah.
What happens
did we do
is,
this? Okay, go ahead.
If he, it keeps him from spitting his passy out and it falling on the floor every time.
Right.
Which floors can be nasty, but yeah, not right. In Allison's, your wife's house.
No, not in our house. It wouldn't be.
So that saves us the trouble from having to bend down every time he spits his passy out.
I got you.
Wow, our viewership has just skyrocketed.
Has it really?
Yeah, 130.
Let's keep doing this. So my wife Allison now is taking my. Hold on, people are just now logging in, honey. Just a second. Give it another minute, and then we'll get to Dr. Brown. Anyway, so what do you foresee in the future for Luke Thomas as far as his career goes?
Well, I believe Luke in the Bible was a physician.
Okay, so maybe a doctor.
Is that correct, Ed?
Yes.
Maybe a doctor.
I would be happy with him.
And Thomas was a. Thomas was what, a stockbroker? What was Thomas in the Bible?
He was a disciple. I'm not sure what his background was.
Occupation was, yeah. Doesn't say?
I don't think so. We'll ask Dr. Brown if he
well, I just know that,
give him a minute or two to think.
I just
over.
Know that for that the day another Wowman was brought into the world, the ACLU cheered.
Yes.
I just know that yes. they're happy that another Wowman. All right, take Luke Thomas. My wife Allison now is taking Luke Thomas. away. We will bring him back if you people ever stop watching us on the video. We'll bring him back again,
yes.
Boost our ratings.
Yes.
Anyway, that's Allison and my fourth grandchild in.
You're under, just now catching up
in
all
under
this,
4 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's our fourth grandchild in under 3 years.
About to have another one.
And I have three adult children, and then we're going to have another one in February. So we're going to have five and under 4 years, if you follow me here. Yeah. What I'm saying is it's a very traumatic experience, if you think about it.
And it is a lot to remember.
Yeah.
Different birthdays, all that kind of stuff. Names,
exactly.
You know.
So we've gone from no grandchildren to a wad of grandchildren.
Almost literally a wad.
A wad.
Yeah.
It's a wad of grandchildren. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We are delighted to have with us in studio our good friend Dr. Michael Brown, and he is from Charlotte or the North Carolina area. I'm not sure where in North Carolina. He's got a brand new book out that we're going to be talking about, which fits right in line with our mission here at American Family Association, American Family Radio. It's called Saving a Sick America. A prescription for moral and cultural transformation. Michael, good morning and welcome to our program.
Hey, great to be with you. And I do want to clarify about Thomas.
Yeah?
Yeah. So you're basically, if you're Jewish, either a doctor or a lawyer. So we assume probably a lawyer.
Yeah. He was a doctor or a lawyer?
Yeah, probably a lawyer. Yeah.
And now we should clarify that you are free to talk about Jewish people because you are one.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
I'm a little concerned about the exploiting of children. I mean, that's going to be big news everywhere.
You don't listen very often.
I think Right Wing Watch is going to be all over this.
Well, look. Yeah. Hey, it works, man. Numbers went up, didn't they, Walker?
Yeah.
So
substantially, and
I'm just
telling
you.
But you know, I'll tell you what I was thinking. In all seriousness, we often think in such short-term views. Jesus is coming any minute. We're out of here. On my radio show, the moment I report the latest bad news, the callers start coming in. Brother, it's the end.
Yeah.
This Jesus coming. Anyway, it's supposed to be September 23rd. He was going to come. Didn't come back. I'm looking at your grandchild, right, and thinking, what kind of America is this grandchild going to grow up in? Mm-hmm. And could it be that God has a purpose and a calling on that young life, and that while we live with urgency, I want to see the Lord return in my lifetime. That's my great dream, right? I live every day ready to meet him. But we have to have a multi-generational mentality. That's one of the things I argue in Saving a Sick America, that we need to be thinking in terms of outliving and outlasting the sexual revolution and LGBT activism and radical feminism and the culture of abortion and the culture of death, because God's ways are ways of life. Mm-hmm. And if we'll live out what God's given us, we can actually show America there's a better way, and we can literally outlive and outlast the other revolutions.
Well, let me ask you, in line with that, do you think sometimes evangelical Christians have kind of subverted their own potency as salt and light by thinking too short term, so that they don't think about starting colleges, Christian colleges and universities. They don't think about starting Christian schools or teaching their kids that maybe they could go into the arts or maybe they could go into geology, because the mentality is it's the end, brother. So we need to just batten down the hatches and wait for Jesus. Are we undercutting our own potency?
We absolutely are, because we do two things. We think it's the end, and with that we have kind of a gloom and doom mentality that everything's going to get worse before Jesus returns. You have to ask yourself, what if every generation before us thought like that? Mm-hmm. We'd never deal with segregation. We'd never deal with slavery. We'd never deal
wouldn't
with
have a country.
wouldn't have a country. Right, exactly. Right. Perfect. Exactly. It's all coming down. It's getting worse. You know, we're getting oppressed by Great Britain, you know, Britain in the 1700s. It's all going down.
Let's go to the top of Mount Vernon and wait on the hill.
Yeah. So that's one thing, the gloom and doom, Jesus coming any minute mentality that can be destructive, right? And the other thing is, when things get bad, we tend to pull out. Now, I understand we need to come out of the sin of the world, but we're to go into the world in terms of making an impact and being a difference. And Martin Luther King once said that the church has to be reminded it's not the master of the state or the servant of the state, but the conscience of the state. Mm. So if we're not involved, if we're not speaking, if we just keep abdicating, you know, people have been saying, throw in the towel. We've lost the battle for same-sex marriage. Gay activism is one. Throw in the towel. I don't hear the Spirit of God telling me to throw in the towel. Mm. I don't. When I go in a dark room, you look for the light. We're made to shine. So this is where America needs our message the most. And yes, sometimes we're our own worst enemies. And that's why in Saving a Sick America, I have a whole chapter called Restoring Thunder to Our Pulpits, where I say that's where it has to start. It has to start with what we preach, because our main message is happy God, who wants you to have a happy life with a happy gospel, and don't feel guilty and don't feel bad. That's it. We're not talking about sin. We're not equipping people to deal with life and death issues. Pastors are terrified many times, and we support. I'm a leader in the body. You know, we support, we stand with, but many times pastors are terrified to talk about the controversial issues, but that's what the people need to hear, because that's what their kids and grandkids are living in. That's what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
We're visiting with Dr. Michael Brown. His radio program, Firing Line, is...
Line of Fire. William Buckley was Firing Line.
Yes, that's right.
Sorry.
I don't mind the comparison. Okay. That's all right.
Line of Fire is on Sunday afternoons here on American Family Radio. And he's got a book, and we're very selective about the books we promote here on Today's Issues in American Family Radio. I mean that seriously, because we get bombarded with them daily. And we've chosen this book because it fits right along with our mission here at AFA and AFR. And as Dr. Brown just said, it gives hope. Mm. And it's not gloom and doom. Yeah, there's some bad stuff going on that needs to be addressed, but there is hope. Why? Because, as Dr. Brown says, we serve an awesome God that wants us to be engaged and involved and commands that we be salt and light in the culture. So, the book is, the reason Dr. Brown is here in studio with us and not joining us on the phone from North Carolina is because we want to sell as many of these books as we can to help get the word out, help get the message out. And Dr. Brown invested probably a year or more in this, writing this, inspired by God. And we want to help him get this book out and help people to see that there is hope for, quote, saving a sick America, which is the title of the book. So that being said, how much is it?
It's $24.99.
$24.99, and it's a hardback.
Hardcover, you bet.
It's a real book. Yeah, do we have
a man's book and a woman's book?
Yeah, right.
I should quickly say.
Well, women read anyway. We got to get the men to read. Women read anyway. That's not a problem.
Yeah, but if Ed starts making it a thing, man's book, then women won't buy it.
Yes, that's right.
We got to make it gender neutral. anyway, it's a hardcover book. I say that to say, you wonder why is it $24.99? It's a real book, chock full of great stuff. You're going to thank us for ordering a copy of Saving a Sick America. Subtitle, A Prescription for Moral and Cultural Transformation. Here's how you can get the book. And does that include shipping and handling, Walker?
That's everything. Yes, sir.
And handling? Shipping and handling? And postage?
Yes.
Everything?
We will handle it
and ship it?
Then ship it.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. You can order it at afastore.net. 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 It's front and center there. Afastore.net. You can get the book that way. Get this book, read it, and then give it to your pastor, I would say, and then bug him until he reads it. Here's the phone number for ordering. So if you don't want to go on the internet, you'd rather just pick up the phone and call and order right now. Here's the number to call to order the book. 877-927-4917. Again, it's a toll-free number. 877-927-4917, one of the best books to come along in a long time regarding the culture and Christian faith and evil and good and what we should be doing about it. So, you mentioned You mentioned in our devotion this morning about what light means in the Christian sense, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that Jesus and that God and we're supposed to be light, we as Christians. Now, where do you draw the line, though, when the culture, the popular culture around us, seems to be trending, accepting anything, especially with respect to the sexual mores of our country, anything that's against the Word of God, the world's for.
Yeah.
And they're pushing, they're ramming it down our throats, and they're telling us we're the haters.
Yeah, so first thing, we have to ask God for a real baptism of love, and that what motivates us is not hatred, not anger, but love for God and love for our neighbor. And we're convinced that God's ways are best. And I've interacted with folks that have come out of homosexuality, and what drew them out was they heard love. They heard people that cared. They didn't hear people ranting and raving. At the same time, we wholeheartedly stand against redefining marriage. We stand against transgender activism. We care for the people, but we stand against the activism. And here's what I believe, though. I believe that ultimately the sexual revolution devours itself, that the world that we're in today, I mean, when we were kids, grew up watching Lassie and Leave It to Beaver. Now it's Game of Thrones and Secret Diary of a Call Girl. That's not sustainable. These things are self-destructive. You now have 8-year-old kids downloading porn on their cell phones. You have 12-year-old kids sexting each other in middle school.
What was that most popular book for a couple of years?
Oh, 50,
it was about bondage.
50 Shades of Grey, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Mm. So we see the madness of the culture sweeping in this direction. And yet, I have a whole chapter in the book, From Playboy to Purity, Reversing the Sexual Revolution. It's ultimately destructive. It doesn't satisfy. People end up burnt out. They end up upset. There's more divorce. There are more kids born out of wedlock. The kids grow up more unstable, more kids on antidepressants, and on. Mm. We say we have a better way. Same thing with gay activism. Those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. We're a country that loves liberty. The more that liberties get oppressed and suppressed, the more there's a pushback. The more that it's not just celebrating that Bobby and Billy love each other and want to get married and you know them all their lives and okay, you're happy. No, it's not just that. Now it's celebrating Bruce Jenner as Woman of the Year. Mm-hmm. Now it's your 14-year-old girl in school is sharing the shower stall with a 14-year-old boy because he identifies as a girl. At a certain point, people say, no, this we don't like the direction that things are going. And then here's the other thing. And this is a wild statistic. I draw on a chart in my book that was on an Orthodox Jewish website. And it says, let's look in 4 generations and see what happens. Here are secular Jews, all right? And then you have everything from secular over to the very, very religious, the men with the long beards, black coats, the whole bit. And they say in 4 generations, if you start with 100 in each group, how many will identify as Jews after 4 generations? The very secular, after 4 generations, 6. You're left with 6 people. Why? Low birth rate and low Jewish identity, a lot of intermarriage. The ultra-Orthodox Jews, they have over 3,000. Why? Wow. High birth rate, and they stayed faithful to the religious traditions. What I'm saying is, with a multi-generational mentality, if we ourselves, okay, the world may be going to hell around us, figuratively speaking, or literally, but as we live by God's principles, as we say, okay, how can we raise our kids in a wholesome way? How can we conduct our marriage? How can we turn away from the porn culture and sexual immorality? If we do that, we love family and esteem it, we will actually grow and multiply, and we could literally be the dominant force for good in the country. Not trying to take over and impose the Bible, but just to say, hey, living by God's values is better. And what else are we going to do? Some people are saying we've lost the culture wars, throw in the towel. I don't see anywhere in the Bible, chapter and verse, that says there will not be another great awakening in America. Mm. What I do see, and I quote it in the book, I quoted it in chapel this morning, is that we've had dark times before the Great Awakening, the days of the colonies. I mean, the colonies were so godly compared to America today, and yet you had people saying religion lay as it were dying. It looked like it's over. 1800, Chief Justice John Marshall reportedly said that the church has gone too far ever to be redeemed. There was the first Great Awakening after the first comments, second Great Awakening after the second comments, and then check this out. We're told, just look at the demographics. Young people, much more embracing of wide sexual values, much more embracing of gay activism. Our generation, I'm 62, right? The older generation, we're going to die out. We're the bigoted, prejudiced ones. Younger generation is going to embrace things, and that's over. Well, do you know the early 1960s, pollsters said this generation of young people coming up looks to be a terrific generation. They're not rebellious. If anything, they're a little complacent. They don't seem to have goals and values. You read the description, it was the exact opposite of what happened. Who saw the backlash to Vietnam War, who saw the assassination of JFK, who saw the Beatles coming in and drugs and sex and rock and roll. Nobody saw that coming. And then the positive gains of civil rights and the shaking that took place, nobody saw that coming. And it was so dark. 1966, Time magazine asked the question in April, is God dead? 5 years later, Time magazine's reporting the Jesus Revolution, hippies, radicals. I was one of them, rebels getting radically saved around the world. Is God dead? No. No, absolutely not. So we need to go back to the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead, that light triumphs over darkness, that we don't look at a big bad devil, we look at a great powerful God. And we need to recapture that mentality because the news is bad all around us and it always seems to be going in the wrong direction. We need to recapture living hope because we serve a living God.
Now, the economy news is not going bad, though. Did you hear us a while ago?
I heard.
A while ago.
Amazing.
But I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding about the economic news, but that isn't the most important thing, even though we all want a strong economy. It's what Dr. Brown's talking about, and that is we want a strong culture. We want a strong country morally. And those values that Dr. Brown talked about, which are timeless biblical values, served our country so well for so long, and since the 60s probably. Now, the table was set earlier with Kinsey and Darwin and so forth. But certainly since the 60s, we've had a increasing rebellious nature against the things of God and the principles that made our country great in the first place. And, you know, it's interesting what you're talking about. You said earlier, I forgot the word you used, but in other words, we've got so much of this open immorality that people are seemingly embracing the popular culture in the world. And they're telling us Christians that we're too, you know, we're too restrictive. We're too narrow-minded. We're hateful. We're bigoted. We're unaccepting. And all we're advocating is what God advocates in his Bible about human behavior, human sexual behavior. But do I hear you saying it's almost like the culture is just has sat down with a bucket of ice cream, okay, and you're down about three quarters of the way, and you're getting sick at your stomach of this. Are you saying that is that kind of what I'm getting, that the culture is going to one day reach their limit as far as what we can push and accept?
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yes, some will continue.
Generally
speaking, that some will continue to go down. Some will embrace darkness. The
darkness. Romans 1.
Exactly, and we understand that Jesus said, "If the world hates you, remember it hated me first." We understand that, but we also understand that sin destroys. We also understand that, say, no alcoholic wishes their kid was an alcoholic. Mm. How many porn stars are excited when their kids find out that mommy was a porn star? You know that the things that the world gives itself to, and the paths that they follow end up being self-destructive. Does anyone really think that America's better today with kids being able to access porn? They really think it's better that 13-year-old girls are getting STDs and they stay for life. Do they really think that the divorce culture is a better culture? And what happens is what we know ends up being statistically seen. You know, if you cohabit before marriage, you have more divorce. If you have kids born while cohabiting, you have less stability in the family and you have less stability in the kids growing up. So we're going to hear the great talking points that the world gives, but they're empty and they're normally founded on lies. And look, many of us got saved because we knew something was wrong. I was celebrating my drug use thinking it was great. People started to pray for me. I came under conviction. Then I realized, man, I'm a slave. I'm destroying myself. This is dangerous. You know, our whole culture of excess leading to massive debt and massive obesity. So we eat whatever we want, we do whatever we want, and we're eating it. We're literally, as one doctor said, digging our own graves with our forks and knives. So the thing gets destructive, and at a certain point, we hear the wake-up call. So the church cannot just be perceived as saying, this is wrong. What we have to do is say, this is the way to life. America can only be great if America is good. America can only be good with the help of God, and that's what we go back to.
Ed, this is an excellent book by Dr. Brown. He's in studio. That's who you're listening to, Dr. Michael Brown. Tell us about the book and how people can order it. Ed.
Well, the book is available at afastore.net. The name of the book is Saving a Sick America, A Prescription for Moral and Cultural Transformation. Dr. Michael Brown is our in-studio guest. He is well known to American Family Association, to The Stand. He writes a blog. He is also on American Family Radio. He hosts the Line of Fire radio program. That's a two-hour program heard on weekends on American Family Radio. So if you want to get a copy of this book, it is a clear-eyed look at where we are, because nobody, including Dr. Brown, and he's spent his life pointing out the unraveling of the moral foundations, overthrowing of the moral foundations in our country. So it's a clear-eyed look at where we are, but it is a hopeful, gospel-centered look at where we can go. Mm-hmm. So if you want a copy of this book, it is available at afastore.net. It is $24.99. $24.99, because it is a hardcover book, but that includes shipping and handling. Go to afastore.net, or you can order by phone at 1-877-927-4917. That's 877-927-4917.
This is a book you need to get, read for yourself, but also give it to your pastor.
Yes, that's an excellent idea.
Or somebody in leadership in your church.
It might change the whole way somebody preaches.
Yeah.
Because, Dr. Brown, one of the things I just was thinking as you were talking earlier, if you were a farmer in Russia in the 1920s, Kulak, and you saw your friends and families being starved under communism, and you saw the grip that communism had, would you have ever thought that your great-great-grandchildren could be free, that communism would one day fall without a shot being fired? Same thing about if you were an evangelical, for example, in Nazi Germany, as Hitler came to power in 1940, and he's sweeping all over Europe, he looks like he might be the Antichrist. Would you have believed that that could have been broken, that the grip of Nazism could have been broken in your country? Things do change. And yes, this is kind of what you've been saying. Things do change. And if you despair as a Christian, it's not only a sin, but you are overthrowing the faith that allows God to move to bring the change you never thought could happen.
Yeah, and think of this. Those are perfect illustrations. If you were a Jewish person that somehow survived the Holocaust, would you have believed that 3 years later there'd be a modern state of Israel? So resurrection often comes out of death. And again, we've had these cycles in America. Before the great prayer movement of 1857, 1858, revival scholar James Edmund Orr said that the churches were becoming worldly, internalized, sexual immorality, atheism were on the rise, occult was on the rise. It sounds like a description of our day, and there was a great prayer awakening that swept the nation. You know, the other thing to consider is this. I was not conscious of the pro-life movement in 73. I came to faith in 71, and my church was not really socially conscious. But all of my friends that were involved back then tell me that the pro-lifers were hated even more than conservative Christians are today for standing against, say, gay activism. And at the same time, they were fragmented, discouraged. Roe v. Wade, it's all over. Okay, tragically, we've seen 55 million babies aborted. That's a reason alone for judgment, so we plead for mercy. But the fact of the matter is, somehow the pro-life movement today is stronger than it was back then. And young people are embracing more and more of the pro-life message, and less states have access to abortion and things like that. So we have to be in this for the long haul. Day by day, we live with urgency, but we're in it for the long haul.
Dr. Michael Brown has been our guest. Need to get a copy of the book, folks, that we're talking about. It's an excellent read, and it's titled Saving a Sick America, A Prescription for Moral and Cultural Transformation. We only hit the tip of the iceberg on what's in this book, talking to Dr. Brown the last 20 minutes or so. Here's the phone number to call and order, 877-927-4917. That's toll-free, 877-927-4917. The website to order is afastore.net, afastore.net. Michael, thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We shall return in 5 minutes after the news with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.